Unit 2. There is something fascinating about reading other people's mail if you are allowed to. Here is your chance to read the letters of American writer Sylvia Plath, which she wrote home to her mother from a hotel where she had a summer job as a waitress. At the time, she was a college student and was still at the start of her writing career. Through the letters, we learn of her changing thoughts and moods concerning work, boys, and writing.
The beginning of a career, Sylvia Plath. The Belmont Hotel, Cape Cod, June 11th, 1952. Dear Mother, your amazing telegram announcing $500 Mamswell Prize for Sunday at the Mintons, which I forwarded, came just as I was scrubbing tables in the shady interior of the Belmont dining room. I was so excited that I screamed and actually threw my arms around the head waitress, who no doubt thinks I'm rather insane. Anyhow, psychologically, the moment couldn't have been better. I felt tired. One's first night's sleep in a new place never is peaceful, and I didn't get much. To top it off, I was the only girl waitress here, and I had been scrubbing furniture, washing dishes and silver, lifting tables, etc., since 8 a.m. Also, I just learned, since I'm completely inexperienced, I am not going to be working in the main dining room, but in the side hall, where the managers and top hotel brass eat. So tips will no doubt net much less during the summer, and the company be less interesting. So I was beginning to worry about money when your telegram came. God, to think Sunday at Minton's is one of the two prize stories to be put in a big national slick. Frankly, I can't believe it. The first thing I thought of was, Mother can keep her intercession money and buy some pretty clothes and a special trip or something. At least I get a winter coat and extra special suit out of the Mintons. I think the prize is $500. Me, of all people. So it's really looking up around here, now that I don't have to be scared stiff about money. Oh, I say, even if my feet kill me after this first week and I drop 20 trays, I will have the beach, boys to bring me beer, sun and young gay companions. What a life. Love, your crazy old daughter, Sivvy. June 12, 1952. No doubt, after I catch up on some sleep and learn to balance trays high on my left hand, I'll feel much happier. As it is now, I feel stuck in the midst of a lot of loud, brassy Irish Catholics, and the only way I can jolly myself is to say, oh well, it's only for a summer, and I can maybe write about them all. At least I've got a new name for my next protagonist, Marley, a gabby girl who knows her way around but good. The ratio of boys to girls has gotten less and less, so I'll be lucky if I get tagged by the youngest kid here. Lots of the girls are really wise drinking flirts. As for me, being the conservative, quiet, gracious type, I don't stand much chance of dating some of the cutest ones. If I can only get in as a pal with these girls and never for a minute let them know I'm the gentle, intellectual type, it'll be okay. As for the Mademoiselle News, I don't think it's really sunk in yet. I felt sure they made a mistake or that you'd made it up to cheer me. The big advantage will be that I won't have to worry about earning barely $300 this summer. I would really have been sick otherwise. I can't wait till August, when I can casually go down to the drugstore and pick up a slick copy of Mademoiselle, flip to the index and see me, one of the two college girls in the U.S. Really, when I think of how I started it over spring vacation, polished it at school, and sat up till midnight in the Haven House kitchen typing it amidst noise and chatter, I can't get over how the story soared to where it did. I get great pleasure out of sharing it with you, who really understand how terribly much it means as a tangible testimony that I have got a germ of writing ability. The only thing, I probably won't have a chance to win Mademoiselle again, so I'll try for a guest editorship, maybe next year or my senior year, and set my sights for The Atlantic. God, I'm glad I can talk about it with you. Probably you're the only outlet that I have that won't get tired of my talking about writing. Speaking again of Henry and Liz, it was a step for me to a story where the protagonist isn't always me, and proved that I am beginning to use imagination to transform the actual incident. I was scared that would never happen, but I think it's an indication that my perspective is broadening. Sometimes I think, heck, I don't know why I didn't stay home all summer, writing, doing physical science, and having a small part-time job. I could afford to now, but it doesn't do much good to yearn about that, I guess. Although it would have been nice. Oh well, I'll cheer up. I love you. Your own Civvy. June 15th, 1952. Dear Mother, do write me letters, Mummy, because I'm in a very dangerous state of feeling sorry for myself. Just at present, life is awful. Mademoiselle seems quite unreal, and I'm exhausted, scared, incompetent, unenergetic, and generally low in spirits. Working in Sidehall puts me apart, and I feel completely uprooted and clumsy. The more I see the main hall girls expertly getting special dishes, fixing shaved ice and fruit, etc., the more I get an inferiority complex, and feel that each day in Sidehall leaves me further behind. But as tempted as I am to be coward and escape by crawling back home, I have resolved to give it a good month's trial, till July 10th. Don't worry about me, but do send me little pellets of advice now and then. June 24th, 1952. Last night, I went on a gang birthday party at the Sandbar, where we sang and talked for a few hours. There were about 40 of us kids from the hotel. I managed by some magic to get myself seated next to a fellow in his first year at Harvard Law, and he was just a dear. The best part was when we came back. It was a beautiful, clear, starry night, and Clark went in to get me two of his sweaters to wear because it was cold, and bought out a book of T.S. Eliot's poems. So we sat on a bench where I could just barely read the print, and he put his head in my lap, and I read aloud to him for a while. Most nice. The only thing I am so inclined to get fond of someone who will do things with me like that. Always inclined to be too metaphysical and serious conversationally. That's my main trouble. So glad to hear the check of Mademoiselle is real. I hardly could believe it. Just now I am mentally so disorganized that I can't retain knowledge or think at all. The work is still new enough to be tiring, what with three changes a day into uniforms, and I'm so preoccupied by mechanics of living and people that I can't yet organize and assimilate all the chaos of experience pouring in on me. In spite of everything, I still have my good old sense of humor and manage to laugh a good deal of the time. I'll make the best of whatever comes my way. Much love to you, Civvy.